So, in the midst of this busy time, let's reflect together, okay? And I hope you guys enjoyed last week's format, the kind of circle and discussion. We're actually going to do that more often, okay? So that it's more engaging and we have a meaningful dialogue. But today, I have some things to say, so I want to just speak, okay? And in fact, what I've also decided is it's going to be like a Bible study as well, series on go back to the passage, go. 1 Corinthians, okay? That's a letter that Paul wrote, and so we're kind of going to go through the whole book. So what I'm actually going to suggest is if you have your own Bibles, please bring it, okay, on Sunday, because we're going to be going directly from the Bible in a kind of discussion format too, all right? But today, this is kind of a kickoff for 1 Corinthians, because this is a basic message that we all need to hear, okay? So on Friday, what happened on Friday? You guys know? A big event, huh? Yes, I heard you guys mouthing. Inauguration, right? Of the new president of the United States. I mean, you guys have seen clips on TV or social media probably, right? Right. So this marked the end of the Obama era. You guys know Barack Obama, right? Probably most of you. He's probably the only president of the United States that you guys have really known, right? You guys were all kids when he became president. So not many of you would remember the previous president, right? Who was the previous president? Yeah, George W. Bush, right? And what things were like during his time is probably, you guys may have faint glimpses, but you guys were very young then. So, but you guys might have glimpses back from when Obama was first running for president, right? You guys probably seen things in the news or whatnot as kids. So he first ran for president in 2008. Can't believe that's already 8 years ago. So back then too, the United States, it was seen as a greatly divided country. Okay, I don't know if you guys are aware of that. In addition to that, there was this huge financial crisis, right? And the whole economy just went into a tailspin, all right? It plunged it into darkness. Many jobs were lost as well, okay? And so Barack Obama, he ran on this wave of hope and optimism. You guys have seen those posters? Hope, you know, with his picture. That's kind of like what symbolized his running. This guy was seen as someone who can unite people, right? So much of the country flocked to his vision, right, of hope, and especially young people like yourselves and college students. Like, they're so, like, excited and enthusiastic. Like, here's this, they're mesmerized, right, by his charisma and his vision and his ability to speak eloquently. This guy was a young, charming, eloquent man, like, might really change the world, right? People believed that. And that there were rallies around the country. Think about it, right? Like, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 people would show up just to hear this guy speak all around the country, right? Can you imagine that? Like, a stadium full of people. This was him. It was an exciting time. It was electrifying just to see him speak. You know what kind of reminds me of? If you guys know stories from the Gospels, like, when Jesus spoke, like, crowds flocked to him, right? It was kind of like that, right? His inauguration, it shattered records. I think like a million people or something came to it. It was crazy. People at the time, they were tired of pessimism and division, people fighting each other. They were ready for a healer and someone who would unite people. And that's what the vision that he offered. I mean, there's a lot of things to talk about, but fast forward 8 years to today, the reality, as it turns out, what's the reality, guys? The reality is vastly different from that hope and vision, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure you guys have a sense of things. As this new president takes place, we find society and our world more divided than ever. Not more united, not more healed, but more divided, more anger, more tension, more self-centeredness. And so, you know, many of the young people, especially a lot of the young people who got really excited by this vision, I guess over the past 8 years, they've seen the reality of raw power, okay? And how, you know, entrenched interests, like powerful people, they won't easily give up their power, and they want to keep things as they are, not change. So many young people have seen this, and many young people have become disillusioned by all of this. You know, in many ways, I think about you guys a lot, right? All the time I'm thinking about you guys. your generation and whatnot. And in many ways, I feel bad for your generation. You know, you guys have grown up in a very fragmented world. Like back in, even when I was a kid, media selection was only a few. When I was a kid, you guys know those TVs where the knobs you have to turn? Those are the TVs I grew up with. So it's channel 2 to 13. That's all I got, right? Now you guys have YouTube. Click, 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 click. Boy, this is boring. Click, click, right? Endless, endless. That's the kind of fragmented world. So at least with a few, there is a more unified vision of what the world should be like, or everyone kind of read the same thing or watched the same thing. We don't have that anymore. Now it's like, watch whatever you want, pick whatever you want, okay? Also, you guys have grown up really under the power of big money and big corporations. You know, I really believe that money and power, they've almost completely saturated and dominated society. And, you know, it seeps into every aspect of life now. And you guys have, that's the kind of world you guys have grown up in, you know. So with all this, like, self-interest, there's a lot of violence, and there's the problems are seemingly huge, right? I think what we've come to believe now is, what can I do? Like, the problems are so big. Global warming, global violence, all this, like, what can I do? And so because of that, many people, and including many young people, they've given up hope that I can change things and turn things around. So given up hope, and therefore, what society has done is we've turned inward. And just, you know what? I can't do anything, so I'm just going to focus on myself. Right? It's become an extremely self-centered world. And this has been further fueled by big money corporations. Because what do they do? They keep trying to sell things to us and focus on our materialistic desires, right? And so that's all we focus on. We're inundated by it, bombarded. YOLO. That's the motto, right? You only live once, right? Live for myself, live now, enjoy. That's what life has become about now. Do everything you want to do. But my friends, you know, does this really lead to happiness? You know, is that a happy life? Let's think about that, right? So, we come to today's passage, all right, in 1 Corinthians. So what's going on in this community here? Right. Let's read that first verse together. Let's read verse 10, okay? Together. Ready? Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and same purpose. Let's read verse 11 too. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. Aha. So that gives a clue what's going on in this community, all right? There's quarrels going on. It's divided. So that's his main idea, saying, my brothers and sisters, come on, let's be united. Okay, so let's dig into this a bit. What were these quarrels about, right? Verse 12 goes into that. Let's read this together too, okay? What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you niptized in the name of Paul? Typo, sorry. So imagine, if you will, right? A room like this, right? It's divided into, everyone comes together to worship like we do, but it's divided. There's a group in that corner, a group in that corner, a group in this corner, a group in this corner. This is kind of what's going on in the community, right? So Paul mentions baptism here, okay? Back in this day, I guess, whoever baptized people could claim loyalty and allegiance, because whoever baptized someone, that means I brought you into the faith and into the community, okay? So think about that, right? Baptism meant your initiation into the community. So what do we have rituals too, right? At our High Sea retreat, what do every summer? We initiate, right? The newbies, welcome to our community, right? In a similar way, that's what baptism was, but whoever was doing the baptism had authority, right? So if I'm baptized by Jonathan, you know, I'm his guy. He's my guy. You know, I follow him. Or if I'm baptized by Priscilla, she's my girl, you know, that kind of thing. So divisions, all right? So that's why Paul is saying, though, like, you know what? I'm glad. Let's go to the next slide. Right? So I thank God that I baptized none of you except whatever. So he's basically saying, well, thank goodness that I didn't really play a role so that he's trying not to make this an issue, right? But the key verse for today, one of the key verses, let's read verse 17 there together, okay? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. Ooh, okay. We need to unpack this, all right? Well, this is like Paul's answer to the division, okay? So let's keep that in mind. It's a divided community. So what's going on here? Why is he talking about this cross of Christ, proclaiming the gospel, not with eloquent wisdom, okay? So let's unpack this together, okay, guys? So what happened on the cross? Yeah. Peter, what happened on the cross? Yeah, say it. You're right. What? Jesus got crucified, right? He was hung there, like hung on a tree almost. So crucifixion. Let me ask a question. Who created this form of punishment? The Romans, okay? The Roman Empire. They were the most powerful empire of that time. We talked about this a bit last week, right? The most powerful. So it was given as an example of what, to make an example. If you do anything that's bad or against the empire, this is what's going to happen. Okay, on Netflix, there's this actually new show that I saw. It's called Colony. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's pretty interesting. But it's a fear tactic. People see people crucified, and it's like, oh man, okay, I better behave, right? Or else I'm going to be like that. It was ultimate humiliation, shame, and punishment, all right? And that's how Jesus died. You guys know that? We praise Jesus and all that, but this, think about it, guys. This dude, he was hung there, left alone, and he was rejected by the world. Like, we'll read other stories later on, but like, people mocked him. It's like, if you're Jesus, if you're like God, then why can't you save yourself? That's what people literally said, right? What kind of power do you have? Like, you're a wuss, you're a weakling, you're just standing there? Like, that's how Jesus died, alone, right? But why did he do that, right? Think about that. Jesus, he died on the cross out of obedience, okay, to God's will. So what kind of life did Jesus live? I mean, we believe and we read that he lived a life of what? Righteousness, right? He lived a life of justice. He spoke out against those who would put others down. And ultimately, he was obedient to God's will, right? So he loved those who were left out on the margins. He healed the sick, right? And like I said, he spoke out forcefully against those who are committing injustice. And so what happened was people started following him, right? And so he started to be seen as a threat, right? To the empire. Because like empire values stability, right? Stability, like not like rousing up. So that's what was happening. And so that's why the powers that be decided, no, this guy's too much trouble. We got to get rid of him. That's what happened, right? He suffered the ultimate consequence of living that kind of righteous and just life. Okay? Death and rejection by the world. So that's what the cross for us symbolizes, okay? The cross actually symbolizes the ultimate consequence for living a righteous life, which is death and rejection. Okay? It's not a glorious message. That's the message of the cross that we're talking about here. What it means, you know, I want us to be aware of this. And evil and sin, okay, in this world, it's too great, okay, for us to live a truly righteous, just, and God-connected life. That's why in this world, to survive in this world, as you get older, you're going to realize we have to compromise so much. We have to do things that we don't like doing. Sometimes that's the only way to survive in this world and get ahead, you know? If we really try to live that righteous and just life, we're gonna get crucified, figuratively. Maybe not literally, right? But in other ways, we might get fired, might get isolated, rejected, right? Either you'll be seen as either a rat, a whistleblower, a sellout, whatever it may be, right? So a lot of people think, and I want to dispel this myth too. Okay, a lot of people, this is what a lot of people say. Hey, you know what? Hey, if I just live a good life, like as a moral person, do my job, take care of my family, then that's all I need. That's a good life. Right? Don't you guys hear that a lot? Like, why do we need religion or faith? As long as I live a good life, that's all that matters. I'm a good person. I treat others with respect. Right? That's what we hear. Here's a Christian response to this, okay? That's a very naive and self-centered way of thinking and looking at life. You know why? Because it actually, that absolutely ignores the reality of evil in this world, okay? We see glimpses in the news. There is a lot of evil in this world. I'm not trying to be a downer here, okay? But that's reality. Because one thing I've decided with you guys, High C, is I don't want to sugarcoat things, right? I want to just say it as it is. So that's the reality. Anyone who actually tries to live a good and just, moral, righteous life, you're going to be killed by the world. Actually, whether it's literally or figuratively, right? All the great leaders like Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, people like that, what happened to eventually in the end? They got killed, right? Because they actually tried to live that good, righteous life, okay? And that's what happened to Jesus, okay? That's our Lord Jesus. So this cross, though, therefore, it symbolizes a God-centered, okay, rather than an I-centered approach to living life. And, okay, so next thing. Let's go to verse 17 again. Let's read that again. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. Okay, let's think about that. Christ sent Paul to proclaim the gospel, okay, but not with eloquent wisdom. And why? If he spoke with eloquent wisdom, that would empty the cross of its power. What's going on? Don't we want to sound eloquent, right? Isn't it a good thing to be wise and speak with that? Why would eloquent wisdom empty the cross of its power? Okay, so let me give some background again, okay? So Corinthians, what does that mean? What city was that in? Or was he writing to? Okay, it's a city called Corinth, okay? That's why it's called Corinthians. It's like Torontonians, Corinthians, okay? Corinth, do you guys know where this city was? What country? Anyways, it was in Greece, all right? You guys know Greece, right? In Europe. And back then, you guys have heard a lot of like Greek myths and Greek philosophers and whatnot, okay? Like, have you guys heard of like Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, you know? These are like famous Greek philosophers, okay? So what the Greeks valued most was wisdom, okay? That to them was the highest virtue. So they believed that, you know, you need wisdom to be anything, to be anyone, and that's the way you need to be, okay? So that for them was what was respectable and acceptable. So that's why I'm putting things in context. But think about it. To be credible and respectable, okay, where does that place the focus on? Does that place focus on me or God? It puts the focus on me, right? It's what I do. So I need to be wise. I need to, it's what I accomplish, how I present myself, right? How I distinguish myself. It's all about I, me, okay? So that's what Paul is talking about here. Remember, Jesus lived a very God-centered approach, okay? And that's the approach that led to death on a cross, okay? So this very I-centered approach, okay, that's what empties the cross of its power. You guys kind of with me? This part is a little intellectual here, okay? But it's important. If we want to understand our Christian faith, we need to understand some things intellectually too, okay? When it's about me and I, that's what empties the cross of its power, okay? Because the cross is not about I, it's about God, okay? And even if you don't get it now, I just want you to remember these concepts for later so that you'll think about it and you'll get it, okay? But then the question is, where does this power come from? Because it's talking about power, right? Cross of Christ is power. And on verse 18, for the message about the cross, for to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Wait a sec. If the dude just like kind of gets killed and dies, what's the power in that? Right? That's weakness, isn't it? Right? And to most of the world, Paul's talking about that. It's foolishness, this message about the cross. It's foolishness. Why the heck would I want to live a life where I'm just going to get killed? Right? I want to live a life where I'm going to actually be elevated. right? That's what we all want. We don't want to live a life that's going to get us killed. You know what I'm saying? So, but here's the basis of our faith, all right? A Christian faith. So Jesus was rejected by the world and died, okay? And so the world rejected what Jesus represented, which was God's will, okay? This is theological stuff, but Jesus was God's will made real in the flesh. You guys know what I'm saying? Like, God's will is out there, but Jesus made that real in real life. Okay, he actually embodied that. And so what the cross symbolizes is the world rejected that and said, no, screw you, you're getting killed. That's what the world said, right? And so the evil and sin of this world was too great that it killed God. It killed Jesus. Okay? Yeah, this is the crux of our faith, guys. And so this is what we mean when we say that Jesus died for our sins. He died because of the sinfulness of the world. It was too great for a man like that to survive. All right? That's what it means. So what does that mean? It means the world seems to have won, right? Ultimately, he died. The world, victory. God, Jesus, lose, death. Okay? But guys, is that the end of the story for us? Right? No, right? I mean, you guys have grown up in church, so you guys have been through all the kids' church stories and whatnot. What's the central part of our faith as well? Right? The resurrection, right? Right? So God raised Jesus from the dead with the resurrection. So this resurrection is what ultimately gives the cross its power. It means Jesus conquered death. Even though the world killed him, it didn't have the final say. That's what it means, right? So what it means is when we think about it, and if we accept what God has done, what happens? And God actually makes us a new creation, all right? Our old selves that are part of this world and, you know, trying to compromise, that's passed away, and we're actually made a new creation where we are, in a way, resurrected with Christ. Okay, that's what we believe. And that's the good news, okay? The good news, my friend. Like, that's why we call it the good news. It's the good news is that God makes us a new creation in Christ, okay? God has already done the work for us. It's not what we do. Everything in this world, guys, is about what we do. I have to study hard. I have to get good grades. I have to get into a good school. I have to do this, right? So much pressure. But the good news of our faith is it's not what I do. It's what God has already done, okay? God has done this. Think about that. It's not what I do. Isn't that refreshing? God has already done it. God has lived the life he's supposed to live through Jesus. God was killed on the cross. God raised Jesus up and offers us a new life, a new creation. That's the good news. So in that kind of world, all we need to do is simply accept and trust what God has done. It's not easy to do that, though. The world will keep tempting us back into thinking it's about me and what I do. But that's why we're here to remind ourselves always. It's to trust what God has done for us. And that's why Paul says, in verse 18, the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. Those who choose to live an eye-centered life, which is most of this world, now this message is foolishness. I've already said, right? Why live that kind of life that leads to death and rejection? Foolish. But to us who are being saved, see, being saved, it's not a one-time thing. It's a, you know, we will falter. We're going to trust God and then fall away, trust God, fall away. And that's because we're human beings, right? But being saved means it's a constant process, okay? So for those of us who are constantly, you know, being saved, this message, it's power. Because it gives us hope, right? It gives us a new life, and it gives us the strength to carry on when life is difficult and hard, right? This is the hope that we can have when we look at our divided world, right? When we live life with this power, we carry on with hope that ultimately God has the say, final say, right? When we are a new creation, we can live life confidently with faith, and we're not easily shaken, even when hard circumstances come upon us. And that's one of my greatest hope for you guys I see people, is that, you know, when you face life's challenges, my hope is that you guys will have this foundation of faith, believing in what God has done, so that you won't be shaken and you won't crumble when the hard times come. Because life is hard sometimes. Unexpected. Things may happen at any time, but if we are firm in our faith, then we will actually be able to carry on. Okay? So it's up to us to simply respond with a thankful heart and ask God to lead us in our daily lives. All right? So may the power of God be with you this week as you continue your studying for exams and all assignments and all that stuff. And may this power empower you in your daily lives. Okay? Let us pray.